Murders weren't Roxy Layborn's forte, but she had a job to do. On the evening of April 26, 1972, the 61-year-old ornithologist climbed into the back seat of a detective's car at Bangor International Airport. Clouds dimmed the glow of the full moon during the hour-long drive south toward the coastal city of Belfast, population 6,000. Roxy, petite with thick glasses and an ear-length bob of graying hair, gazed out her window toward the shadows of the forest, where warblers, flycatchers, and other seasonal travelers of the Atlantic Flyway were passing through on spring migration. As the car neared the hotel, she noticed a smattering of peculiar structures lining the sides of the road. The silhouettes didn't offer much detail, and the buildings must have appeared too small and too plentiful to be fit for humans. "What's these houses?" Roxy asked, her gravelly North Carolina drawl weighing down every syllable. "They're brooder houses," the detective answered. This amused Roxy. Before the trip, a friend told her that she was heading to the chicken capital of Maine, and the abundance of poultry infrastructure lent some credence to this quirky bit of trivia. It was a welcomed, albeit brief, distraction in otherwise tense territory. Upon checking into her hotel, Roxy received a handwritten letter from Peter Cully, the young state prosecutor who'd soon be interrogating her on the witness stand. He apologized for not picking her up personally from the airport. The team was ironing out some last-minute details on the case, he explained. But, he noted, I fully expect we'll get to your testimony tomorrow. Cully, a lifelong Mainer who was just a few years out of law school, had plotted an exhaustive case against Henry Andrews, a 35-year-old laborer who stood accused of a brutal murder. Roxy was the penultimate act in the prosecutor's script, the last witness he'd call before closing arguments. Some of Roxy's colleagues at the Smithsonian National Museum of Natural History thought her to be boyish. Some found her ornery. Everyone agreed that she was an authority, perhaps the authority, on feathers. Cully hoped that if any embers of doubt were still smoldering in the jury box by the time Roxy took the stand, she'd extinguish them by offering up scientific analysis showing that the feathers recovered from the scene of the crime matched bits of feather that were found on Andrews's clothing at the time he was apprehended. To the best of anyone's knowledge, this marked the first time that feather forensics would be used in a homicide trial. If Roxy was nervous in the quiet of her hotel room that night, she had no one to admit it to but herself. When morning arrived, Roxy stepped outside and walked over to a small wooded area near the parking lot. To her surprise, she spotted some chicken feathers on the ground. On the drive to court, she saw flatbed trucks topped high with wooden crates, leaving trails of chicken feathers blowing in the wind. Just about anywhere else, it'd be strange to take a walk in the woods and emerge with poultry down stuck to your boots or pants. In this wedge of eastern Maine, though, feathers seemed to be everywhere, and that made Roxy uneasy. "I didn't know what I had gotten myself in," she said.